find everything you need today?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Oh, God. No!
Everything okay, ma'am?
It's just that you've only scanned a few items and it's already $60. I'm so scared.
Okay, I'm a trained professional, ma'am. I've scanned a lot of groceries. I need you to stay with me.
It's just that my in-laws are in town and they want a charcuterie board.
Well, this isn't gonna be easy, so I need you to be brave, all right? What's your name?
Patricia.
Patricia, all right, I need you to take a deep breath. We're about to do the cheese.
Oh my God! The numbers are going up so fast! Why do we have to be a Balderson's house?
Don't look up there. It only makes it worse. Keep your eyes on me, okay?
Can't you just scan something less expensive?
I can, but let's not forget. It's the little things that add up, all right? Now brace yourself. I'm about to do the mixed nuts.
Oh, my God. I'm going to pass out.
Okay, bite down on this, Patricia. Get ready. I'm going to do the cured meats.
Oh, no, stop. I can't do this anymore.
It's too late. There's a line behind you, okay? You're locked in.
I'm not strong enough.
I know it looks like a lot right now, but I promise you, you're gonna get home and you're gonna wonder, what did I even buy? Okay, your total's
$257.84.
Oh, no! Ain't it the truth? Who's had that experience at the grocery store? Man, don't even get me started on Costco, okay? Woo! Man, well, that is what it's like to go grocery shopping in 2024. And I think because of inflation, because of the economy, I think this series is really important for a lot of us right now. Dollars and cents. We're going to be in week two of our series, Dollars and Cents, and it's going to be great. My name is Matt Wolf. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, I'm so glad that you guys are here. Welcome. Love you. If you are joining us online, so glad that you're checking us out as well, or joining us from wherever you are. We're all about helping people follow Jesus here, so we want to help you follow Jesus and for you in turn to help others follow Jesus, because following Jesus is the path to the fullest life and the only path to eternal life. And that path includes financial freedom. And that's what we talked about last week, that God wants us to have financial freedom. And today we're going to learn that that requires a financial plan. So that's what we're talking about today, developing a financial plan. And that is so important for us because I remember the days when I had no financial plan. I remember it vividly when I went to college. I had saved up some money, which I thought was a lot of money at the time because I was in high school. And then I went to college and I thought, hey, this will get me through the year. And then next summer I can work a little bit more. And by January, it was gone. It was gone. I'd spent a lot of money on going to shows, driving down here to Denver. I was up in Fort Collins at CSU, going to a lot of shows and buying pizza at 2 a.m., right? And my money was gone. And I had to get a job very quickly. And even in spite of that, I put a bunch of stuff on my credit card because it was an emergency, right? And because of that, I started having a revolving debt on my credit card that lasted for years to come. I could never quite get ahead even when I got my job. So I'm telling you this because I had no plan. And when you have no plan, they're gonna get you, okay? You are gonna get into debt. You're gonna make bad financial decisions and it's gonna end up hurting you. So what we're gonna talk about is how to make a financial plan that can help you get into the financial freedom that God has called you into. So last week we kicked off this series. If you missed it, that's okay. I'm gonna give you a quick recap and you can always go back to arisedenver.com/media, listen to the audio, watch the video, even read the transcript. We have all that on our website. And last week we talked about that the first step to finding financial freedom, because that is what God wants you, the first step is to become awake, to wake up and get to work, because we have to be aware of our financial situation. And I gave you guys four things that you need to be aware of. This was your homework, and I hope you guys did your homework. Some of you are like, a little nervous, okay? But our homework was this week to really understand what your financial situation is. You can't get freedom if you don't know where you are. And so I encourage everybody, you gotta know four things about your finances. And the first is, what do I owe? The second is, what do I own? The third is, what comes in, my income? And fourth, what's going out? So once you get that picture, that's the good starting point. If you haven't done it, take a moment right now and think, when am I going to do that homework this week? When am I gonna do this homework? I'm not assigning this because I wanna give you guys homework. I want you to have financial freedom. So you've got to do this work. So think right now, when am I going to do it? Is it going to be tonight? It's going to be tomorrow. And if you didn't do it this last week, you need to make a plan to do it this week. Melissa and I did that this week, and we were able to look at it, and we put it all in one Excel document to see where we're at, you know, what we owe still on our mortgage, and we had on one page our entire financial picture, and we were able to discuss it and see where we are. We're doing good, okay, over here, some places over here, we got to work a little bit, right? And that's how it is when you wake up to that financial reality of where you are. So that's step one, wake up, start getting to work. Step two, it's time to develop a plan. So this is my big idea today, coming from the scriptures. You need to develop a financial plan and pursue it with diligence. Want financial freedom? Nobody's gonna give it to you. You have to develop a financial plan and pursue it with diligence. Now, I hope that you guys are gonna take notes today. This is one of those sermons, you need to take some notes. So if you don't have a piece of paper, get out your smartphone, go to the YouVersion Bible app, download that, and it's gonna have right in the app, you can find our Arise Church Denver event, you can see the notes, the scripture that we're gonna be covering, because it's gonna be a lot today. I'm gonna be moving quick, understand? So I want you guys to be doing this. So we need to develop a financial plan, and this comes from our key verse. This is gonna be our key verse, though we will look at a lot of scripture today. Our key verse is Proverbs 21:5. And in Proverbs 21:5, we read this. The plans, in case you're wondering where planning comes from, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. So this proverb, Solomon is teaching the richest man at the time, the wisest man at the time, and he's saying, hey, this is what I've learned. If you are diligent, if you work hard and focus, you make a plan. See, diligence isn't just like, I gotta go work as hard as I can. You don't just work harder, you work smarter. Okay, you have to have a plan. And if you do that, it leads to profit. There's a financial component to good plans. However, the opposite of that is haste. And that leads to poverty. Well, how would those be opposites? Well, because a plan is slow, it's methodical, it's planning ahead of time. What might take months, years to get to the financial state where you want to be. Okay, it's going to take some time to find that financial freedom and profit. But if you're like, I just wanna get rich quick, I wanna play the lotto, I want somebody to wipe out my debt over in Congress, well, that ain't gonna happen, okay? Keep dreaming, haste actually leads to poverty. Even if all those wishes were granted, if you're not smart financially, you're just gonna go bankrupt. So it's a plan that's gonna get us there. Now, a lot of people like to think, well, I just have faith. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Right? I just wanna have faith for today. I wanna leave room for the Holy Spirit, so I'm just gonna go ahead. But here's the reality. Jesus teaches us to plan. Did you know that? Planning is part of our faith. We're letting the Holy Spirit work. He doesn't just work in the moment, he works ahead of time, okay? Let's not prohibit the Holy Spirit from doing what he should do. And Jesus taught us to plan ahead. Did you know that? In Luke chapter 14, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost, coming up with a plan, to see if you have enough money to complete it? Verse 29, he says, for if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish it. He's saying, if you don't have a financial plan, you're gonna get mocked. That's what he said. Like, this is just a standard. We always should count the cost ahead of time. We should develop a plan ahead of time so that we can get where we need to going. And some of you are like, Matt, I have a great financial plan. It's up here. Okay, that don't count. Because we all know when you see that great sale, you're like, oh, I gotta have it. Right? Our impulses, our emotions control us in the moment and our head goes out the window. Anybody been there? We're all human. I'll raise my hand. I'm at the front of the queue here. We all do this. We need a financial plan. And that's what we're gonna talk about today. Okay, a little couple bonus points before we dive into how to make this plan. If you are single here today, if you are young, teenager, single, maybe not so young, single, whatever your category is, let me tell you this. Surveys are showing now that people are looking for in a spouse, they would prefer someone who's financially smart than someone who is physically attractive. Did you know that? Financial acumen is sexy today, okay? So if you're single today, know that. And one really cool thing, okay, people are always dogging on Gen Z, okay? Gen Z actually has the highest rates of wanting financial smarts in a partner. They're the ones above every other generation. That's pretty cool. Let's give Gen Z a hand, okay? Thank you guys for finally getting smart financially. So this is important. So if you're single, you're welcome. You can send me a thank you note later when you get married. Okay, I just told you how to find a spouse. Okay, that's if you're single. If you are married here, it's not his income and her income. It's not the debt that he brought into the marriage and she brought it. No, it's your income and it's your debt. Once you get married, you have one set of income, one set of debt. It's yours. And it's not like, well, it's his bad spending habits. I don't want him touching my money. No, they're your bad spending habits. You married him, okay? When God set up marriage at the beginning, he said that the man shall leave his father and mother and become united to his spouse, and the two will become one. For a healthy biblical marriage, two become one. That includes your finances. Okay, I'm trying to help you guys. I'm not trying to judge you or criticize you or anything. You might get financial advice out there that's different. I'm telling you what God says, and what God says always works. It's the best. So you've got to figure out how to combine your finances. And this changes as you go. And so I want you guys to understand this. And if you're like, well, but wait, what about my spending account? You can still have your own spending account. You can make your own decisions. That's what you decide as a couple, but it's your income coming in, your debt that you're bringing in, and you are gonna tackle it together. And when you do, you'll actually get ahead further, faster. I know this, Melissa and I work on our budget together. And in fact, last night, I kid you not, Melissa said, I love our new budgeting app. She said this because we are able to work on the same page financially. We know what each other are using, and it's so much better to work as a team in your finances. So we are gonna talk about that today. That's your bonus point for you married couples. And we're gonna talk about the financial plan we need, and the most important thing in your plan is a budget. Now, I think a good financial plan has more than that. It has an investment strategy. It knows what your retirement counts. There's a lot of other components. You should have some goals to your financial plan. But the most important tool for your financial plan is a budget. And in particular, a monthly budget. This is just helpful advice because everyone now in our society pays monthly bills. Pay a monthly mortgage. If you're good, you can plan for the whole year. You might need to plan for a week if you really need that much help. But a month is generally what it takes to do a good budget. Now, I am going to challenge everyone. Your homework this week is to write a budget. And this is important because in America, get this, only 32% of people use a monthly budget. Only 32% of people. Less than 1 out of 3 Americans actually has a budget and uses it. So if you're like, Matt, I don't have one, well, it's time to start getting smart financially, getting wise. Start working on a budget. So that's your work. If you already have a budget, great. Your homework this week is to revise it and make it better. A budget is the starting point, the basic tool we need. If you're like, I don't know how to do that, you can take Financial Peace University starting today after this class that will teach you. You can use an Excel document to look at all your income and expenses. You can also use an app. Now, I have looked around and I've asked some people to find a really good free app to use. There used to be an excellent one that just got shut down. I guess they weren't making enough money. There's a few that you can get that have some basic things out there, but most of them are like, if you wanna upgrade and get the actual good features online, you gotta pay. And so I have a few recommendations for that on our website, arisedenver.com/money. If you're in the app, the YouVersion Bible app, there's a link to that resources page. And there's a few that I recommend. Melissa and I just switched to Every Dollar. That's the app that she says, hey, I love. I mean, that's Dave Ramsey's company's app, and it's been really helpful. But I don't care which one you use, you just need something that you're using so that you can look at the budget and be able to plan it and live according to it. And I know personally, so what I'm telling you is I personally have made just about every financial mistake, right? I shared that at the beginning. I've been in debt. Last week I shared that I even had debt collectors calling me up at one point. Like, I've been there. But I will also tell you that it took a plan to get out of that bad spot. That's what it takes. And I know that personally too, because right when I got out of college, I was in love with this beautiful young woman named Melissa, and I wanted to marry her, but not only did I have credit card debt, but I had no money to buy a ring. So I needed a plan quick. And that's when I first started a plan instead of just living month to month, doing whatever happens. So I made a clear plan, and I kid you not, I think it was within 5 months, I worked hard, saved money, ate hot dogs wrapped in a tortilla. That's what I was eating as my regular meal. And I was able to save up enough money to pay off my debt, buy a ring, and we got married. Okay, this was like a 6 month span where all that happened. You can do it if you have a good plan. So that's what it takes. And the tool that you're gonna need is a budget. So you guys ready for the basics of this plan? basics. This is simple. This is biblical. Leaning in a little bit. Okay, there's three things you need in a good budget. One, you need to give first. Okay? Some of you are like, there's no way, Matt. I'm in financial debt up to my eyeballs. I owe all this money. I can't do it. No. Give first. This is a biblical concept, and what God blesses is when we give first. This is what he says. In Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with abundance and your vats will burst over with new wine. Who wants more wine here? New wine, barns filled with abundance. This means you're gonna have not only what you need, but more than that. And in abundance, you're gonna have more wine. This is even some good luxury fun things that you're gonna get out of it. And that blessing, it says, comes if you honor God first with your wealth. And this ain't just in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. And you can read in parentheses that's not there because you won't have anything left. If you're not giving first to God, you won't have anything left at the end. Who in here has wished they could be more generous and they're like, I just don't have the money left over to do it? I've been there. It's because we're not giving first. And God says, honor me first, put me first. Some of you are like still saying, but Matt, I don't have the money. I'm in debt. I owe all this money. I have huge bills. I can't do it. This is what I would say. If you're in a financial place and you're like, I'm struggling, I can't get out of it. Maybe it's because you're not giving to God first. Have you thought about this? You're asking God to bless you and get you out of this mess. And he's like, yeah, just honor me first. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Seek first his kingdom. He's like, I wanna provide for you all that you need and more, but you're not seeking me first, you're not trusting me first, you're not putting me first in your life. How can we expect God to bless us when we're not putting him first and blessing him? This is a challenging word, but I think some of you need to hear it. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a clear teaching on tithe, and the word tithe means 10%. Jesus talks about tithe as well, he does. But in the book of Corinthians, and I don't like saying this because I'd love to just take all 10% of your income, right? But this is what it says. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Meaning it's between you and God how much you give. I think 10% is a great percentage to start with or to get to, okay? If you're like, that's crazy. But I would say give to God first whatever God puts on your heart to give. Trust him first. And this is a key to budgeting. Because when you get to the end of the month, you will never have enough left over to be super generous. You just won't. It's leftovers. Do you give to God first or leftovers? And I would tell you this, from the first paycheck that Melissa and I received when we were married, and it was her paycheck, by the way. I was still in school. She had the big paycheck. I was just working as a waiter on the side, not making very much. We decided to tithe with that first paycheck. 10% was gone. So when we made our budget, we set it from 90%. From the beginning, and we have kept up with that. It's like, that's not even our money, so why would I set a budget that way? And this is important, because you will talk to a realtor or a financial advisor or the people at the where you're buying your car, and they will say, oh, look at your income. You can afford this down payment. You can afford this car payment. But that's because they're looking at 100% instead of 90. You need to say, hey, that's not my money anyways. I've given to God first, and then I'm gonna choose to budget with the rest of the 90. Do you understand this? Tracking with me? Set your budget that way. Give first. Step one, okay? That's of a good budget. Give first. Second one is to save second. Save second. You pay God first, then you pay yourself before you pay your creditors and all that, okay? Pay God, pay yourself. Saving is a biblical concept. Proverbs 21, verse 20 says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. If you wanna be a wise person, a biblical person, you save second. This is important because you will have needs in the future. I'm not saying we are not supposed to store up treasures on earth. That's what Jesus said. But we are supposed to save for needs we will have coming up. That's why we save, for needs that will come up. And that's the wise thing to do. And what we should be doing is every single month or every single paycheck, saving a portion of it. And we do that. It's very slow, isn't it? Okay, this is building. It's taking forever to keep building this up, but it will build up. Proverbs 13:11 says this, money gathered little by little grows. Okay, if you wanna have enough money, if you want to have some big amount saved up for the future, for retirement, you need to do it little by little. Little by little, it's slow progress. That's why in your paycheck, okay, I budget to give first, to save second, and slowly those things will accumulate. Now, some of you just need to get started saving something. You got nothing. You got nothing. And what I would say is first, this is not my advice, this is from other people, just get a starter baby savings fund, $1,000. Just save up $1,000. You're gonna need $1,000, I promise you, within the next year. So save that up. Once you've done that, then you start saving 3 to 6 months of expenses. So in case something bad happens, which has the likely to happen, okay, there's gonna be financial catastrophes, there's gonna be health issues that come up. You need to save up that 3 to 6 months. And then once you do that, you should really start being saving even more for the future, okay? So if you are a beginner, you know what to do. If you're mid-range, you know what to do. If you are an advanced saver right now and you're like, man, I already got 3 to 6 months saved. Well, good for you. I'm gonna tell you 5 things that you need to save up for even long-term. And this is why we invest. Did you guys know investing is a biblical concept? Okay, Ecclesiastes 11:2 says, invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. This is another book written by Solomon. He says, you should diversify your portfolio. Okay, if your financial advisor is telling you that, do you know where they got it? From the Bible. Because you never know what's gonna happen. So we should be investing our money, because if you invest, even right now, you can get 5% in a savings account right now. That interest is gonna grow and compound, and over years and decades, it's gonna be worth a lot more than it is today. And if you invest wisely and correctly, it could be a lot of money that is saved up for the future. So here's the 5 things that you need to save up for. 1 is long-term future. This is retirement. There will come a time when you slow down, you're not making as much money, you need to plan for that time. Long-term. The 2nd thing that you need to invest and save up for is midterm. Your HVAC unit will go out. You will need to purchase a new vehicle, even if you have that one paid off. Okay, you need the midterm savings because that won't be able to fit in your monthly budget. Midterm future. The 3rd thing that you need to save up for is for your family. Did you know Proverbs 13:22 says this? It says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Why does it say that? Well, it's assumed in this verse that you're saving up for your children, but it's saying you gotta think beyond that, legacy. Can I save up for my children's children? So generations now can be financially okay. Like, let's think long-term future. If nobody did this for you, it's time to start and think of your family in the future. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't wanna give my kids a bunch of money, then they'll be fat and lazy and not work. Okay, that could happen. But I would say this, inheritances in those days were passing on land and cattle and livestock. This was passing on a business and a place to live. You guys tracking with me? So that they could have their own source of income, future generations. So in our society, it might not just be handing over a sum of money, but it might be saving up in a 529 account so that you can pay for some of their school so they can get an education and make money. It might be investment in investment properties or some other form so that I can set up future generations to be financially healthy and free by what I do now. We should be saving up for our family. That's the 3rd thing. The 4th thing that we should be saving up for is for fun. Hey, you guys like this one? Okay, I wanna show you which might become your favorite Bible verse in the whole Bible. You guys ready for this? 1 Timothy 6:17. God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Did you know that's in there? Somebody's gonna get a tattoo of that, okay? You need that verse because God wants you to enjoy the things he gives to us. He wants us to be happy by doing things the way he has provided and called us to. And some of that is through what we're given. So if you're like, Matt, I really want a tractor. Okay, good for you. and you better save up for it, right? Because once you save up for money and you can buy that tractor for cash, you're gonna be riding that thing all around Central Park and you are gonna be looking good on that tractor. So we should save up for fun. The fifth thing that you should save up for is to fund the mission. We should save up so we can be outrageously generous in the future. How cool would it be if you had a bunch of money saved up and when there's the right time or there's a building fund for your church in the future because we outgrow this building, you're like, boom, I can write a big check. Wouldn't that be cool? And it doesn't even have to be here. You could give to anybody or to any organization that you have saved up abundantly beyond that. In fact, Jesus tells us that we should do this with our money. In Luke chapter 16, verse 9, it says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves using worldly riches so that when those riches are gone, you will be welcomed in those homes that continue forever. Use your money to help people now to find Jesus because in heaven, they'll welcome you into their mansions. Do you understand that? We should save up money so we can be more generous in the future. Wouldn't that be cool? So those are the five things that you should save up for in the future. So we've learned so far. Give first. Save second. You guys ready for point three? Live on the rest. Live on the rest. A lot of people use this as the 10-10-80 principle. Give 10% to God, 10% to myself, live on 80. I don't care what the percentages are, but you need to do this with your budget. Give first, save second, live on the rest. Proverbs 21:5, our main verse, our key verse, says the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Profit, that word profit comes from the Hebrew word, root word motar, which means to remain over. Meaning the profit is you're gonna have all you need plus something remaining over. This is abundance. God wants you to have abundance and a diligent plan or a plan pursued diligently will lead to that abundance, to have something remaining over. God wants to give you what you need and more. This is what it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God can give you all you need and he will give you more than enough. You will have everything you need for yourselves and you will have enough left over to give when there is a need. That's what God promises us, that he will give us provision. So that last 80%, live on that because God has provided that for you. Wait, Matt. If I pay God 10% and pay myself 10%, I don't have enough to pay all my bills and do all these things that I need to do. Well, guess what? God promises provision. He doesn't promise to bless all your bad decisions. Ouch, right? He doesn't promise that we'll live at whatever rate we want and paying all the money we want and living at this level of luxuries to compete with our friends down the street. He doesn't tell us we can keep up with the Joneses. He does promise to meet our needs and have abundantly more. So if you're like, I can't live on that 80%, don't blame God. It's time to do some soul searching and some hard, diligent work so that we can get to the place with our finances that we can live on that 80% again. Because God has provided enough right now for you to live on that 80%. So how do we actually get there? And I know this is tough. Some of you've got a low income, some of you have a fixed income, some of you have hardly any income. This is what I would say. You ready for this? This is very simple, but it's not easy. Simple, it's the A, B, C, D's of living within your means. Ready? A, axe your debt. Axe your debt. We talked about this last week. We need to flee from debt. Debt is just keeping us from spending on the things we want to or need now because of decisions we made in the past. We need to axe that debt as quickly as possible because the monthly payments we have on our debt are prohibiting us from doing the things we want now. So let's get out of those monthly payments that are just eating everything alive. In fact, Romans 13:8 tells us, let no debt remain outstanding. One of the most simple, easy strategy that I recommend for this is the debt snowball, which you'll learn about in Dave Ramsey's class. And it's the same strategy that Dion, my sister-in-law, talked about in the video interview from last week. It actually doesn't make sense mathematically, but it works. And here's why. What you do is you look at all your debts and you find the smallest debt you have, even if it doesn't have the highest interest rate, the smallest debt, and you pay that off as quickly as possible. Then you take whatever you're paying on that smallest amount and then you apply it to the next largest debt and then the next largest and the next largest, and it creates a snowball. Even if mathematically it doesn't make sense, it makes sense psychologically because you get developing this habit of paying off debt, axing debt, and you start to feel the momentum. Wow, look what I'm doing. I'm finding real freedom finally. And you're able to pay off all your debt if you apply that faithfully. So the first thing, A, ax your debt. B, build your income. Do you know God wants you to make more money? Do you think a pastor would tell you that? He does, okay? God wants you to make more money. This is biblical as well. I want to show you Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. It says, do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. Why do you need to plan and prepare your fields? So that you'll have a harvest and therefore an income at the end of the year. You need to plan that ahead of time. I need to make sure my income is secure before I furnish my house, before I spend on things that are unnecessary. And in another place, he tells us to actually grow our income. Look at this in Proverbs 27. It says, when the hay is removed and new growth appears and the grass from the hills is gathered in, the lambs will provide you with clothing and the goats, get this, with the price of a field. You will have plenty of goat's milk to feed your family and nourish your female servants. Why does he sell your goats for the price of a field? Because you sell the goats, now you have the price of a field, so you can buy a new field so that next year you have even more hay that can feed more animals, so you can sell more animals and buy more fields and make more income and more income and more income. He wants us to increase the amount of income we can have. Wow, you guys didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Because when you grow your income, it allows you to live with a little more abundance every single month. So you need to build your income. This could be with property, okay, with rental investments. It could be by getting a good education or working on a skill that can make some money so that you can make more money in the future. For some people, especially if you're trying to get out of debt, it might be taking on a second job or working more hours. Because when you increase your income, then you can put a lot more to paying off debt, and therefore you'll have even more money to use to live on. So B, build your income. C, you ready for this? Cut your spending. You don't like this one as much as the last point. Cut your spending. God gives us what we need, but sometimes we spend on things that are our greeds, right? And God promises us our needs, not our greeds. And so some of us, we just need to get real strict and cut our spending. Now, I posted on social media this week just a question, hey, what have you done to cut your spending if you've needed to do this? And I got a whole bunch of suggestions. Thank you guys for contributing to that. And I just want to share a few different things that you can use because I love you and I'm trying to help you get financially healthy and financially free. So here's a few things that you can do. Get rid of all your subscriptions. You probably have some, you're like, oh, it's just 10 bucks a month. Yeah, but you got 10 of them and it's all year long. Boom, there's $1,000 right there. So cut your subscriptions. Unsubscribe from every single email, okay? You don't need those coupons. Just unsubscribe and you won't be tempted. Cut some memberships to places. If it's a membership to the gym, just go outside, okay? You can work out for free. Delete some of the apps that you're using to spend money. Maybe it's a delivery app or a shopping app. Get your groceries picked up, okay? Pick up your groceries. Did you know that 20% of all spending in a grocery store is on things that people did not plan to spend on? They're impulse buys. Here's another tip. Don't go to the grocery store hungry, right? Plan ahead, then you can know exactly what you're gonna spend on when you get your groceries. Avoid sales. You're like, wait a second, Matt, I saved 50%. No, you spend 100% of that money that just went out. Okay, there ain't no saving. Sales will kill you. So avoid sales. Here's another one, wait a day. If it's a big purchase and it's a good decision, it's gonna be a good decision tomorrow. If it's gone, maybe that's God's way of saying you don't need that. Wait a day. Set a spending limit. Sometimes people do this with their spouse or with a friend and they're saying, I'm not gonna spend over this much money unless I get your permission. Don't eat out, okay? Whew, man, the cost of a restaurant is so much nowadays. Or if you are going to eat out, I would just say go down a level, right? Okay, you don't need to go to the sit-down restaurant, just go to Chipotle, right? And get something a little cheaper. Share an entree with someone. They're big enough for four people, right? Share an entree. Don't get alcohol, don't get drinks. There's some simple ways that you can save money. Or make your food at home. Hot dogs wrapped in tortillas. Make your coffee at home. Brew it at home. Even someone said, I grind my own coffee because it saves me money, right? There's ways that you can save money. Maybe you need to get a roommate. Ugh, that sounds awful, right? But I'm telling you, rent is so high in Denver. I even saw this in the Denver Post a couple weeks ago, that there is a nonprofit that got started to help senior citizens find roommates because it's so hard to live in the city. So they will help you and they will matchmake for you to find a roommate. Get 2, 3, 4 roommates if you can't afford to live on your own. Get some roommates. Okay, that's just a few things. I think you guys even have better ideas than that. So if you're watching online, I want you to comment some of those ideas you have. How can we cut spending? And maybe share those with your community group this week. Hey, this is something I found that worked. Let's learn from each other. Let's share our knowledge. So the C is to cut spending. And then there's one more, the A, B, C, D, don't do it alone. Finances are hard. And sometimes we feel so bad when because I make such bad decisions. I have this debt. I don't want anybody to know. Like, everyone in here has made bad financial decisions. Guess what? This church, we ain't gonna judge you. I know you spent some money on some stuff that you shouldn't have. So have I. I am the lead sinner in this church as well as the lead pastor. So we're not judging each other. And what we need to do is don't do it alone. This might be your spouse, might be a friend that holds you accountable. It might be a financial coach. I have benefited so much from my father-in-law, who's a CPA. Man, any big financial decision, I'm running by him. I need some help with this. It's so helpful to know someone who can coach you financially, and that might be why you wanna get into Financial Peace University starting at 12:30 today. Lunch provided, guys. Because we need to get wise with our money. Don't do it alone. And Proverbs 16:22 tells us not to do it alone. It says, 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So if you want your financial plan to succeed, you need some advisors, some coaches, some people to help you and hold you accountable to your financial plan. And if you do this, guys, you're gonna be better than 68% of America. And you're gonna start to find the financial freedom that you are longing for. So let's hear from Jimmy in our church.
Hi, my name is Jimmy Smith. In 2009, we went to a Financial Peace University class right here at our church. It was the first one that our church had hosted. And I was a little skeptical. I wasn't quite sure why I needed to be there. I felt like I was a pretty smart guy. Even though I had made quite a few silly financial decisions in our past. And I got in the class, and what I realized very quickly is that I was the poster child for the guy that needed Financial Peace University. I believed all the myths that Dave talked about. I had made all the silly decisions that Dave had talked about. All in a way of thinking that I was making the right and smart financial decisions. One of the most beneficial things that I got out of FPU was learning how to budget. I had always thought, I don't know why I had this in my mind, but I had always thought that when you put a budget together, it's this annual budget. I make X amount of dollars over the year, and I got to figure out how I'm going to budget those dollars for the entire year. And the simple concept that Dave brought to the table is that you put a budget together every month. And then the next month, you put together another budget. And the next month, you put together another budget. Now, they're going to be very similar, budget to month to month. But when I learned just to break it down into these very manageable chunks of information, it something switched. And we were able to quickly get on a budget that helped us out. And so we were able to spend our money on paper before the month began. And so as we walked into the month, we weren't stressed about how much money we were spending on groceries or how much money we were spending on gas, because we had already planned how we were gonna put that together. And the other key about putting that budget together every month is that it's done in cooperation with your spouse. So as a family, you're processing this together, and there it's a check and a balance on how you process the finances, a check and a balance on how they process the finances. And you get together, you get on the same page, and you start working as a team. Now, if you're single, there's great ways to manage that as well. Get somebody in your life that's an accountability partner that you can process this with and create that level of accountability. But the budgeting stuff that Dave talks about in FPU was transformational for us, and it's something we still use to this day. It changed our lives. It really did. Within a few months after getting through Financial Peace University, we paid off all of our debt and have been debt-free and never looked back.
That's pretty cool, right? Don't just take my word for it. Listen to Jimmy Smith. So get in Financial Peace University. You can come today at 12:30 when we're gonna be starting. You can hang around even here and we'll get you in that class to give it even more details to help you process this and get ahead. Because as we learned today, It is that we need to make that plan, work on it, pursue it diligently, and that's what leads. There it is. Develop a financial plan and pursue it with diligence. That's what it's going to take to find financial freedom. It's a plan and the diligence to stick with that plan. So, reminder, when are you going to this week work on your budget? Think about it in your mind. I'm not doing this because I want to give you homework, okay? I want you to find financial freedom. So take a moment, think, when am I going to do it this week? When am I going to sit down with my spouse and we're going to go through this? Or I already have a budget. I want to refine it. I want to make it even better. Let's do that. And I would say this. I know that this is a hard topic. I have been in debt. I've had collections agency calling me. And I'm telling you, God wants you to have financial freedom. So if you are feeling some conviction from last week, from this week, it might just be the Holy Spirit. Because he wants something better for you. And I say this because God has grace for you. He has grace for every single sin, every single bad decision, every single foolish thing that you have ever done. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you, not because you're perfect and wise financially, because he wanted to save you for something better. And so if you are feeling guilt right now, if you're feeling regrets, God has grace for you. He has love for you, and he wants to help you move forward into a healthier, better, and more free life. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. So let's pray. Lord God, we need your grace, every single one of us. As smart as some of us are financially, we look back and we think, why did I do that? We think this morning, why did I spend that money? But Lord God, you have grace for us. You love us so much. Lord God, help us to receive your grace so that we can be transformed to walk into the better life that you have for us and find the financial freedom that you have for us. Now with eyes closed, I know there are some of you in here who want that grace, want that freedom. And let me tell you, it is found in Jesus when you declare him as your Lord and Savior. He died on the cross to forgive you of your sins and to give you a better life now and eternal life ahead. But to receive that, you must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I'm gonna give you a simple prayer that you can repeat with me so that you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're already a follower of Jesus, say this prayer out loud to give courage to somebody around you who needs to pray it for the first time. And please repeat after me. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me. Forgive me. Give me your grace. In faith, I declare, Jesus is Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me to follow you and live in grace and freedom for the rest of my life. With eyes closed, if you said that prayer for the first time and meant it, if Jesus today for the first time is your Lord and Savior, we want to celebrate with you. And we actually want to give you a little book to help you in your next few steps of faith. So on the count of three, put your hand and hold it up high in the air. One, two, three. Put your hand in the air if you prayed that prayer for the first time. I see that hand in the back and another one over here. Keep that hand up. Can we celebrate with those making a decision? And there's a third one over here. Praise God. Lord God, I'm just so grateful that you have saved us, that you've called us, that you're saving people even today. Lord God, we wanna walk in your freedom. We wanna walk in new life. So I pray, Lord God, that you'd help all of us follow you, find that grace, find that freedom, and just continue to love us. Lord God, we need your help with this subject especially. Help us, give us your grace. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, amen. Amen, all right.
I'm Matt Wolf, lead pastor at Arise Church Denver, and we're all about helping people follow Jesus, and we wanna help you follow Jesus. Because of that, if you're newish, even if you're just checking us out online, go down below in the description and fill out that form at arisedenver.com/new. And if this message has impacted you at all, please go to arisedenver.com/give so that you can give back and help more people find out the message of Jesus Christ.